found in my text tonight, if you'll open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 6, 7, and 8, and going to zero in on verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6 and down through verse 8 after we pray. Father, how grateful we are that we can stand firmly upon the promises that you have made. We read in the Bible that not one thing of all the good things that the Lord has promised has ever failed. Thank you for keeping your promises. May we appropriate them by faith in your timeless word. Energize us by the Holy Spirit tonight. Some are tired, some are weary, some have put in a hard day, had some difficulties and some trying experiences today. Pray that the Holy Spirit would just move in their hearts and give them renewed strength. They that wait upon the Lord, you tell us, will renew their strength. So may we do it, is our prayer in Jesus' name, with thanksgiving. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Watch every word of it. Paul says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." By the way, I ought to tell you that has nothing to do with tithing. Tithing is not an option. Paul is not saying if you want to give your tithe or above your tithe or less than your tithe, you can do it. He's talking about gifts of love beyond the tithe. So don't excuse yourself for not tithing by saying, well, Paul says give as you purpose it. No, he's talking about above the tithe. Determine what you want to do above the tithe. God loves a cheerful giver. Any farmer knows that if you sow just a few seed, you reap just a small crop. If you sow an abundance of seeds, you reap an abundance in a crop. Same thing is true with giving and tithing and supporting God's work. Now look at verse 8. And God is able. Isn't that a good way to begin a verse? God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know what he really is saying there? God is able to enable you to take a part in every good work that you want to take a part in. That's exactly what he's saying. Now, in the series, Life More Abundantly, based on John chapter 10 and verse number 10, where Jesus reminds us why he came, to give us life more abundantly. God is not content, nor should we be, with our living on the lowest level of Christian achievement or Christian accomplishment or Christian joy. God wants us to continue to climb, the ladder of Christian achievement, of Christian accomplishment, of Christian joy and peace and happiness. You see, we ought to be a little bit higher today than we were yesterday in the spiritual realm. We ought to have grown a little bit in the spiritual stature this week over last week. Why? Because God is able. Now watch these. All grace, always, all sufficiency, all things. God is able. The more I know about God, the more I want to know. I hope that's true with you. I believe it is. The more I know about him, now I'm going to be honest with you, that's not true with every person I know. Some people I know, I want to know less about them. Nobody here but us, just a little confession. But the more I know about God, the sweeter he is. The greater he is, the more I see his hand at work, the more I see his power, the more I know about him, the more I want to know about him, and the closer I get to him, the closer I want to get. Old man Job cried in Job 23:3, "All that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Well, I'm glad we found him in the person of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter number 14. Hold your place there in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, and look at with me at John's Gospel, chapter number 14. I'm going to read beginning at verse number 7. Listen to what Jesus says. When there was a question about where he was or where he was going or who he was, verse 7 kind of breaks in. "If," he says, "if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied, we'll be contented, if you'll just show us the Father." And look at verse 9. "Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Now, what is Jesus saying? If you have seen me, he said, you have seen the Father, because Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Now, we have not with the physical eye seen God. We have not with our physical eye seen Jesus Christ. But having not seen him, Peter says in his first chapter of his first book, having not seen him, we still love him. Isn't that great? How many people do you love that you've never seen? Most of you don't love the ones you've seen. How many do we love that we've never seen? And yet, having never seen him, we love him. Oh, what a wonderful thought. The poet said, "Nearer, nearer to God I cannot be, for in the person of his Son, I'm just as near as he." We're just as near as Jesus is to God tonight. Because we're in Christ and Christ is in God, that means we're just as near. As we come closer day by day, we learn more of the unlimited ability and measureless power of our great God. Would you look again at the text, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8. I want you to look at that verse one more time before we move on. God is able. He's able to make all grace abound toward you personally, individually, you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I've entitled my message, "God Wants You to Know That He's Able." Look again at the verse, "God is able." Number one, God wants you to know that he's able to save anybody and everybody. There's nobody, listen, there's nobody outside the confines of God's power of salvation. He reaches to the lowest hell. He reaches to the most distant point. He reaches to those that don't have the same opportunities that we have. Listen to what Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able," there's that expression again. Maybe you ought to go through the Bible and everywhere you find the words "he is able," you ought to underscore that. "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Jesus Christ is in the saving business. Jesus Christ came. The Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That includes every member of Adam's race. There's not a member of Adam's race that can stand up and boast tonight, within myself, I'm good enough to go to heaven. I'm already redeemed of my own accord. No, the Bible says we're all sinners. We're all lost. We're all unsaved. We're all depraved. We're all contaminated. We're all poisoned with sin. But I'm glad he is able to save anybody and everybody. Deep in sin, it doesn't really matter how far in sin. Doesn't matter how many sins a person's committed. Doesn't matter how far they've gone into sin. The Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost. Someone put it this way, from the guttermost to the uttermost. God is able to save anybody and everybody. Number two, God wants you to know that he's able to build you up and give you everything that's coming to you. Turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32. Acts, the 20th chapter and the 32nd verse. I want you to look at it as I read it. Remember God, I'm saying God wants you to know that he's able to build you up and to give you everything that's coming to you. Acts 20, 32 says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. Commend you to God. Isn't that wonderful that we've been commended to God? And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. God is able through his word, the word of his grace, to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. God is able to take your life that's in a shambles, weak, tired, weary, undone, unfit, unworthy. God's able to take that and to build you up in the most holy faith, and to give you an inheritance with all of the sanctified of all the ages. By the way, everybody in this room tonight who's saved is sanctified. Because the word sanctified means to be set apart for a particular purpose. Every one of us has been sanctified by the grace of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, through the power of the Lord Jesus, and he's able to keep on building us up and to give us everything that's coming to us. By the way, did you know that we're heirs to everything in this world? All the money in all the banks belongs to us. All the oil in all the oil wells belongs to us. Some of you are not even getting excited about that. Man, that just kind of excites me to know that all the oil and all the gas and all the gold and all the silver, and some of us just, boy, if somebody got up and told me on the authority of God's word that I owned all the oil and all the gas and all the money, boy, I just want to say, let's go get it. You would too if it dawned on you. It just hadn't got through yet. All of the riches of this world, listen to me, everything that God has belongs to us. Well, the Bible says we are children of God, Romans chapter 8. Go read it when you get home. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus owns? Why, he owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. Everything in the world belongs to him, and he is sharing it with us. I know some of you are saying, well, why doesn't he hurry up and dump it on me? I need it tonight. Well, just be patient. While the wise Solomon says, I read somewhere he said that all of the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. It's coming. Just be patient. Maybe a while, but it's coming. You're going to get part of all of it. Or else God's word is not true. All of the things that Jesus owns belongs to us, and all that he has is ours, and we're his, and he's ours, and we belong to him, and he belongs to us, and he owns everything. That means we own everything. He's my father, and I'm his child, and that excites me to know that all that he has, one of these days, he's going to give it to us. Can you imagine what the kingdom age is going to be like? Number one, we're all going to be kings. Some of you think you're king now, but you aren't. None of us are. But one of these days, we're all going to be kings and priests to reign with him. And we'll just go anywhere we want to go, all over this earth, and have anything we want to have. Everything's going to be ours. We are heirs of God, joint heirs. God is able to build you up and to give you everything that's coming to you. Oh, by the way, our problem is we sometimes are not trustworthy, and God can't trust us with any more than he's allowed us to have. I want you to think about that. Somehow I believe if God could trust us more, he'd give us more. Let's ask him to increase our level of trust so we can just believe him for everything he said, and ask him to increase our capacity so we'll have the wherewith to receive it. I mean, you just cannot pour a gallon of water in a quart bottle. Just won't work. So ask God to give you a big jug or big barrel. He can fill up the barrel. Ask God to increase your level of trust in him and your capacity to receive it. Number three, God wants you to know that he's able to stabilize your life. Turn to Romans chapter 14 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 14 and the fourth verse. I'm saying that God is able to stabilize your life. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? By the way, don't you get sick and tired of these religious detectives going around, snooping around, see what everybody else is doing, or how long they're wearing their skirt, or how long they're wearing their hair, or where they're going to and what they're doing? That's not your business. Hello? That's God's business. You're not a religious detective. God didn't call you to go around snoop on people. Who art thou to judge another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Not to you, not to me, but to his own master. Yea, shall be holden up. Now watch this, for God is able to make him stand. Why don't we just let God deal with others? First, let God deal with us. You see, if we get ourselves straightened out, walking the straight and narrow way, instead of trying to tend to somebody else's business. And by the way, if we are minding somebody else's business, one of two things is true. Number one, we have no business of our own, or we have no mind of our own. Who are we to judge God's servants, another person's servant? He stands or falls to his master, not to me, not to you, but to his master who is in heaven. And God is able to make him stand. If we just make sure we're standing in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, in the right spirit, for the right reason, we'll have a 24-hour-a-day job. You don't have time. You don't have energy. You don't have the wherewith. You don't have the capacity. I don't have the capacity to try to do what everybody else is supposed to do, or make sure they do what they're supposed to do. I've got enough to answer for Raymond Wesley Barber, and you do for yourself. So just plant your feet on the solid rock. Pray for others. Ask God to help you to be an inspiration, a tower of strength, an encouragement, an example, and let that man stand on his own before God, because every one of us must give an account to himself before God. He's able to make you stand. Number four, God wants you to know that he's able to do more than you can dream of. More than you can dream of. You ever dream you lived in a 100-room mansion, or drove a Jaguar, or whatever? Or just had just oodles and oodles of things and things, and you wake up and it was just a dream. But you know, God can do more than you can dream of. Turn to Ephesians 3:20. This was a part of my text last Sunday morning. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able, capable, powerful enough, unto him that is able to do above all that we ask or think." Are you looking at that verse? I'm going to wait for you to find it. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do above all. Wait a minute, let's go back and read that again. I believe I'm missing a couple of words here. Now unto him that is able to do exceed. Oh, there it is. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to do more than you can dream of. Number five, God wants you to know that he's able to support you in the hour of temptation. By the way, have you had any temptations today? You got one or two honest folks here tonight. Has the devil slipped around and said, you know, won't be any harm in that. Go ahead and do it. After all, everybody's doing it. Don't pay attention to what that preacher says. Just do what you want to do. By the way, don't seek the wisdom and counsel of ungodly people. Now I'm going to tell you what's wrong. Many a woman has broken up her home because things weren't going just right at home, and she goes off to some old gal that knows nothing about God, nothing about the Bible, nothing about the church, some good friend, quote unquote, that she works with, and unloads herself, and that old gal says, "Why, you don't have to put up with that. Leave that rascal." The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Don't go to ungodly people to get godly wisdom. Go to somebody that has God, that has the Bible, that has the truth. I don't care how good a friend they are. If anybody advises you wrong, it's wrong. I just kind of threw that in. I'm not sure where that even fits in here. Probably doesn't, but I just made it fit in. Turn to Hebrews 2:18. God wants you to know that he's able to support you in the hour of temptation. Hebrews 2:18 says, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or support or strengthen, sympathize, deliver in the hour them that are tempted." He's able. He suffered in every point like you have. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 says. In chapter 2 earlier, the Bible says, "We have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So you cannot be, you cannot be tempted in your life in any way that Jesus hasn't already been tempted. Oh, you say, "But he was God," but he was also man. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He got sleepy. He got tired. He could be tempted. Yet without sin. And that's the marvel of it all. You see, the first Adam was put to the test and he failed. The last Adam was put to the test and he passed. And he's our representative man. He's representing us as the God-man before God right now. And the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." Don't think you're being tempted like nobody else is. Everybody's been tempted just like you are, just like I am. "No temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape." What bothers you? Doesn't Paul say something about laying aside the weight, every weight of the sin that doth so easily beset us? I've used this illustration before, but it seems so fitting. You remember what the old lady said in the testimony meeting one time when she stood up and said, "Well, I thank God I haven't been on a dance hall floor in 50 years. I guess not. She hadn't been able to walk without a crutch for 49. So dancing didn't bother her. But I wonder what did. Huh? You know, the guy that's never been, a guy that's never had a problem with whiskey, I'm going to tell you something. Devil's not going to put a whiskey bottle in front of your face. He's not going to tempt you with alcohol if that's never been a problem with you. If it has, he will. Whatever the weakness, the devil comes at the weak. When did he come to Jesus? At the weakest moment, when he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was hungry. And the devil said, if you're the Son of God, make those stones turn into bread. I've seen some people turn bread into stone. But he said, make those stones. Feed yourself. Do something that'll get you over your hunger. And Jesus said, it is written. By the way, that's the only weapon you and I have tonight, the Word of God. It is written. Well, I'm going on. Number six, God wants you to know that he's able to keep you from stumbling along the way. Jude, verse 24, now unto him that is able, there it is again, to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, able to keep you from stumbling along the way. And if you do stump your toe, he's there to pick you up. Able to keep you saved, secure, all the way to heaven. Number seven, and I'll be through. God wants you to know that he's able to fulfill every promise that he's ever made. Romans 4:21, listen. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. God made a promise to Abraham. What did he tell him? I'm going to bring one out of your loins that'll bless all the nations of earth. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, on down the line to David, and ultimately comes Jesus Christ. God kept his promise. God's made you a promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear. All of these promises he's able to perform. Everyone. God is able. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. As we leave tonight, let me remind, of course, the choir people, the choir members, if you will come quickly to your place, let me admonish you. Do something about bringing somebody else Sunday to hear the Word of God. Somebody might be saved. That's our prayer. That's our hope. Brother Doug Snyder, lead us in our closing prayer.